During the infamous Casey Anthony trial, prosecutors said she searched the word chloroform on her computer 84 times. They based that on software designed to calculate web searches. But it turns out the software was wrong. There was only one search. Now, TV police dramas make forensic evidence seem quick and easy and 100% accurate. Here's a scene from the Showtime drama Dexter, in which Dexter, a forensic expert and a serial killer, it's a long story, helps a detective analyze blood splatters to reenact a murder scene.
She was running towards the back door. There. She turns.
The shooter sees her. She's shot high on the chest. Spins her around, spraying blood on the walls there. And there.
She loses her cell phone.
She struggles with the coffee table, the couch, and then she finally falls back. Pop! There.
But quick analysis like that is rare, and as the Anthony case showed, sometimes wrong. And our next guest says jurors should know that. Jay Kohler is the Beatrice Kuhn Professor of Law at Northwestern University. He's in the WBEZ studios in Chicago. We want to ask him about that huge difference. 84 searches claimed, one actually done. Professor, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
And your reaction, did that surprise you?
Well, it's bad news. It probably didn't surprise me, though, as much as it would surprise most other people in the public. Certainly, forensic errors are nothing new. We've seen high-profile forensic errors quite a bit. And as you mentioned at the outset, my position is that jurors should know about those sorts of errors. They should know about the foibles of forensic sciences. And most importantly, forensic scientists in every discipline, including the one you mentioned, including the computer forensic analyses, should be tested on a regular basis. And we should learn their error rates, and we should reveal those error rates to juries.
So in other words, this error rate of this particular software, although the designer should be credited for going back to try to figure out why there was this discrepancy, apparently he did some adjusting in the software, and voila, it went from 84 to 1. But you're saying that the fact that there even was that error should be aggregated somewhere.
Certainly there was an error, and in this situation there was one. What we need to know, though, is how accurate are these guys in general? And, you know, he can testify that we found 84 searches, and that's very probative information. But what the jury really needs to know is when you were tested and there were, in fact, 63 searches or 24 searches or 81 searches, how many times did you accurately say there were 63 searches or 81 searches or whatever it was? And we don't have that information. There's no mechanism in the system to ensure that when an expert testifies that there were 84 searches, that there in fact were 84 searches, that we can be confident that there were 84 searches. We simply trust him because he's an expert.
Well, and what are you suggesting, though? Because it would seem that that would add a huge, possibly burdensome, expensive layer if you had to back up your experts with other experts to testify about the experts.
I don't know if we need other experts to testify. We need there to be a mechanism for testing experts on a regular basis to identify the error rates in the various forensic disciplines. So if the discipline is DNA, if the discipline is fingerprints, ballistics, computer searches, whatever it may be, we simply need to have a mechanism in place in those industries for testing the examiners, and then we report those error rates and the accuracy rates to juries so they can get a sense of the probative value of the testimony.
And how do people find these experts to testify? Again, one thinks that there's an agency that represents them or some screening mechanism that they have to go through, but we're hearing that, no, you just literally Google them.
Sure. You'd Google them and you say that you would expect that there'd be a screening agency, and some experts are certified, some laboratories are accredited in different fields. But the fact is that these kinds of tests are not mandatory in the forensic sciences. And again, even if those tests were mandatory, even if every laboratory had to be accredited or every examiner had to be certified, what I think is still important for the jury to know is how often does the examiner make mistakes when he says something.
But are they licensed? In other words, do you have to go out and you say some places you're accredited, but do you have to be licensed to become a forensic expert?
No. I mean, in fact, many forensic experts are simply have a bachelor's degree in some sort of scientific discipline. They work for a police department. They become an examiner because examiners are needed. So, in fact, many people think that's an important problem, that our forensic scientists often have a very close association with local police departments. And so they don't really operate the way an independent body of scientists would operate. They're very interested in getting a certain result, and that could potentially create bias.
The friendships that these forensic scientists often have with the police that they work hand in glove with, and we see that when we watch the TV shows. And I'm just wondering, how much have the television shows sort of warped our sense of how forensic science works?
We've come to expect two things. Number one, there's an expectation that there will be forensic science, and there's also an expectation that when there is forensic science, that it's nearly perfect, that we can count on it, we can trust it, it's been tested, that it's real. And I think both of those assumptions are suspect.
And how about how forensic science is framed? You've done experiments with mock jurors. What have you found?
Oh, I found that the way you present numbers to juries, forensic science numbers in DNA cases, makes a big difference. One thing that may surprise the public is that random match probabilities, this idea that only one in a million people would match by chance or one in a billion people would match by chance and the suspect is one of those people, those sorts of numbers only arise in DNA cases. In non-DNA cases, the expert simply testifies this bullet came from this gun or this fingerprint came from this finger. So they act as though those untested forensic sciences are even more certain than DNA. But in the DNA context, what we have are numbers being presented to juries. And what I found in my experiments is when numbers are presented as, for example, frequencies, if you say 1 in 1,000 people in Boston would match and the suspect is one of those people, people are less impressed with that way of describing the evidence than if I said there's a 0.1% that he would match if he's not the source, and in fact he does match. 0.1% chance that he would match if he's not the source is the same thing as saying he matches, but so too to 1 in 1,000 people in Boston. But people don't treat them the same way.
Oh, that's fascinating. Your final conclusion is that jurors should know the success rate of the forensic expert appearing before them. Who would do this? Would it be a government-run study of their success rate? Who do you propose do that?
State legislatures. The federal legislature would be nice if they passed a federal law. And I also think trial judges should require such testing as a precondition to admissibility. I don't think we should be terribly interested in the individual examiner's error rate because, as you say, it would be prohibitively costly in terms of time and resources for an individual examiner to test himself 100 times, 1,000 times, 10 million times, only to find that the error rate is very, very low. But what I think we need is an industry-wide error rate. We need to go out there and test people at random, test the forensic scientists at random in the different industries, and just get a sense of how often do fingerprint examiners make mistakes when two samples, when two prints actually are not from the same source, how often do they mistakenly say they are from the same source. And I would like to see that done at an industry-wide level for all of the forensic disciplines. And so at trial, you would report the industry-wide error rate with a full understanding that it might not fully describe that individual examiner's error rate or that laboratory's error rate or the risk of an error in the instant case. It's just there to give the jurors an idea of the accuracy of the technology.
Jay Kohler from the Northwestern University School of Law, calling for forensic experts to be somehow rated as to their accuracy rate. Professor Kohler, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.